Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Bam, there we are. It's the Leafs Weekender. Yes, it's a little late. Sorry, folks. I was out doing the Taylor Swift thing, got the bracelets on and all that jazz. For these guys, it's nothing. You got one guy who works a night shift, the other guy who lives 3.5 hours away from me.
I'm still so tired right now. Whatever
it is. It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the Leafs Weekender. We're kicking it off on a positive note. Auston Matthews is hot. The team has won 2 in a row, and let's go. But ladies and gentlemen, as always, it's my friend Clark Monroe and D434 Dylan Fournier here for the episode. Guys, Leafs hockey is back. The Leafs won 2 games. How are we feeling?
Well, I'll start it off, Dill. One thing I'm super pumped about is we got 2 games under our belt, like you said. Let's just put the opponents aside for a second. They scored 6 goals and 7 goals. Yes, one of the 6 was a shootout, but that's fine. They scored 12 goals. Anyone else ever have problems adding 7 and 5? It just doesn't work in my head. They have 12 goals in 2 games and then a shootout, so we'll call it 13. And we won't talk about the goals against until later. That's for another topic in the show. But, you know, one of the biggest things that we wanted to see coming into this season in our preseason episodes and our summer episodes was let's get this offense off on the right foot. Let's get them pumping goals in early. I want to see these guys clipping at an early rate. And that is what we have gotten as a fan base. We have gotten the offensive explosion. We're seeing guys looking great early on, putting up points and getting off on the right foot. So just generally, that's what I'm most happy about, is just the fact that we have seen 12 goals in 2 games, and it doesn't look like they're going to be slowing down in the next couple weeks either. So let's just keep it going.
Full revenge tours on the way. Auston Matthews is on full throttle right now. He's just gonna chase the MVP trophy, I guess, and that's about it. I feel like there's just a whole new presence to the forward group, and I don't know if it's because of the grit that's in the lineup, or like maybe that's why Austin's going off. He just feels comfortable being in the lineup. He feels comfortable not having guys running him down every single game, and he can just go out there and be himself.
Isn't that a funny thing, eh? I've said that a few times. Oh, Mr. Auston Matthews may have wanted a guy or two to keep the old flies off, and we've seen it in the 2 games. Ryan Reeves bringing the pump for 2 games so far, fighting. And then you got guys like Bertuzzi and Domi, not afraid to push guys around or even just throw punches with gloves on. So no. It really, really works well here.
Well, and we saw who he gave the belt to, so I think that speaks for itself too.
Ryan Reeves, baby. Come on now. The Reeves effect. I said it a few times. We'll get into that here in a few minutes in the GBU. But the week that was, saw the Maple Leafs take out the Montreal Canadiens in a shootout, battling back twice from 2 goal deficits, which is something this team had a little bit of trouble with the tail end of last year. They would get down and not be able to find themselves the way out of it. They got the energy. They found their way out of it. They did it twice. They won in a shootout. Maggie Mitch getting it done with the Zoomies. And then we flip it over and we go over to the Minnesota game. And it looked like a lot of Leaf games, they were allowing Minnesota back in. But then all of a sudden they said, no, hold on. We're going to put the skate blade to the throat and really just chop this thing off and get it done, which is what they did. I look at both of these games and say, there's obviously room for improvement, Leaf Nation. Don't get me wrong. But we're two games in. Allow things to come together. We all know the first month of the season, it's kooky-dook hockey. The scores are always out of whack. Teams are trying to find their defense. You're playing against full NHL rosters. Lines are trying to gel. Defense pairings are trying to find their footing. Goaltenders are facing shooters that are not their own teammates that they've been facing through basically training camp and most of preseason. So now they got to get back to, you know, figuring out a Jack Hughes or figuring out a Cole Caulfield or figuring out Connor Bedard, who's coming in, who's brand new as well. So all of these things take some time to get that flow. Let's just say the flow of truth through the lineup, you know. But we got two wins in the bank. You know, we haven't got out of the gate very well the past couple of seasons. So let's take baby steps and just appreciate that we got back-to-back wins. Got Connor Bedard coming in. It's going to be exciting. Obviously, he's going to want to put a statement in the mecca of hockey here in Toronto. He's going to want to do something big. But we'll get into the week that was. What do you guys think of those two games as a whole? Obviously, sloppy defensively, but like we just said, it will tighten up. But Dylan, what did you think of the two games so far? What you were able to see?
I mean, every lunch break that I was on, I was watching every goal. So it was really a highlight reel for me, to be honest. So I can't say
sometimes much, that's the best way to watch them.
Exactly. I was there's this guy at my work. He doesn't know anything about hockey, and I pull up the Ryan Reeves fight, and he's like, "Oh, what you got there?" And I'm like, "This is fighting on ice." And he's like, "What? How do they do that?" I'm like, "I don't know. They just do it, man." So he seemed pretty fired up. I was pretty fired up to watch that fight there. But the week that was, I want to say this now. The boys always come out hot. Like Biz said on Spit and Chicklets, I expect there to be a little bit of a downfall. There is a bit of hiccups on defense and goaltending right now. I think we'll win one or two more. And I think you'll see Leafs Nation go from the very high that we're on right now, right back down to even keel. And you'll watch bandwagon.
You spot Leaf Nation lately? Because they're not on a high. I don't like the two wins that we got. I've never seen a fan base more unhappy about two wins in my life.
But regardless, I see the two wins as a learning curve, especially for those young guys, the bottom six there with Minton, Nyes. I would like him to pot one in, but he's getting the juices flowing in the big league. So yeah, it was a decent week. Can't complain.
Clarky.
Yeah, similar. I mean, great. I was pleased with it. I know it's early and, you know, some of the defensive play wasn't spectacular, but I'm not worried about that really much at all. I think, again, the defensive group is solid. Probably one of the better groups of six that we've had as a fan base, I should say. We're not running the team, but one of the best six that we've seen in blue and white to start a season in a long time, in my opinion. I'm pumped about how John Klingberg's been playing. I haven't seen a whole lot of blemishes yet. I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention just because the games have kind of been sloppy. And so I'm not putting a whole lot of emphasis on watching the game for all of the defensive blemishes that we'll usually see more and more and pay more attention to as the season goes along. But he's producing, he's making plays, he's taking some pressure off Morgan Riley. And that power play, you guys, I am loving the look of the power play this season. It's not a whole lot different, but it's just different enough from last year, and I'm noticing. And it's been, the puck movement has been great. Both units have scored goals. And it's just, I feel like the power play could be one of those lethal weapons. And it has been for a couple of years. I shouldn't say that it hasn't. It's been top two for the last two seasons. So I'm hoping to get back to that top one slot. We talked about it in one of our preseason shows that should be a goal of theirs, to get that power play to that top slot again. And I think with the way it's looking so far, I even think of one again in the Minnesota game that they didn't score on. But for two straight minutes, that first unit was out there just pumping in chances. and it looked great. They were close probably three or four times, including a cross ice one timer to Austin Matthews. It just didn't go in. John Tavares had a couple of great chances. I think Willie had a chance or two on that one. Klingberg kept the puck in. Like, they were looking great. So I'm really pumped about the power play. We'll wait till the good, the bad, the ugly to talk about the goaltending, maybe a little bit. But I'm not overly concerned, to be honest, either. And one thing that I will say, too, that might be a little bit understated about these first two games is one thing that I pointed out before the season started was I think this year, with the way the lineup is constructed, I'm going to think that I was thinking that Sheldon Keefe was going to get a little bit more creative with some adjustments that they would make in game. And we saw it both games. We saw them change the lines, just a little bit of a tweak, especially in that Minnesota game when they were up and they were trying to keep that lead. They took Max Domi and they put him down on that third line to make that third line a little bit different. And they put Cali Yarncroke on that second line. Yarncroke scored right away on that after that change. Not that that's the reason that he scored, but he scored right away after that change. And that line was a little bit more defensive as well. And I just think we're going to see that. And one guy, and James, we talked about this on Wednesday, I'm pretty sure, David Kampf, I just think that they're going to be using him a little bit more. They signed him to too much money to just plop him on the fourth line with Ryan Reeves, where they're probably not going to, no, I'm not saying anything bad about Ryan Reeves. Relax, James. I see your face over there. But I will say they're not going to put Ryan, yeah, exactly. They're not going to put Ryan Reeves out when they're up two goals late in the game. That's a David Kampf job. So I think they're going to have to find a way to maximize David Kampf as the season goes along, but we'll get into that. I'm sure that's a long-term discussion we can have later in the season. Overall, first two games, loving the power play, loving the goal scoring, loving Austin Matthews. Willie looks great. Tavares looks like he's involved. The Lions, I'm loving
how they're two games for Tavares.
Exactly. I'm loving how the Lions are looking early. I like the young guys, Nyes and Mitten. Mitten's probably not staying too long. I'm just going to say that now. Again, another conversation for a couple weeks from now. But really, really happy with the first couple games. Very entertaining.
Before I send it to you, James, I want to give a shout out to my buddy Johnny. He ended up making it to Saturday's game, and I got a text on my break. And it was after the first period, Austin had scored two goals. And I was like, oh, the hat trick in the second game might be on the table. And I get a text from him. He's like, Dylan, I know you got me this hat. Is it okay if I throw it on the ice? And I'm just like, yeah, of course. And he's like, okay, love you. Have a good one. I was like, love you too, buddy. Have a good one. And after the game, he texted me that he owed me a hat. And I'm like, dude, I gifted you that hat. You don't owe me anything. So, Johnny, you don't owe me anything. I'm glad that you got to toss the hat that I gave you onto the ice.
Saw a bunch of scarves getting tossed too in that first
yeah.
one. So that,
yeah,
that
that's
pretty funny.
That's like the, I think I saw Jim Tree Living with that on.
I think it was the giveaway. I think they were giving them away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people just threw them on the ice for the hat trick. I thought that was hilarious.
That's funny.
So, you know, I'll say this. I'm happy that we got the two wins, and the Reeves effect will be talked about here very shortly. But I agree with you. You don't put him out late, you're not looking for him to do anything foolish. But we'll talk about him in a little bit longer. But one thing that did, and Dylan, you know my harp on this, it's the face-off thing that really concerned me over the first two games. That's the only thing that really concerned me. If you go down the face-off line, if you go down the face-off line for game number one, a guy you pay $11+ million to take your face-offs on your first line is at 35.29%.
Yikes.
Here we go. We're getting into face-off percentage.
And then David Kampf, again, himself, supposed to be your defensive center, at 38% on the dot as well. Those numbers are not great. Now, Austin Matthews did on Saturday night pick it up over the 50% mark, which is great. But he lost more, Mr. David Kampf, at only 25% on the draw. So if he is counted upon as your defensive center, 25 and 38% does not cut it. And I know it's game one and two, but that is supposed to be his bread and butter. He's supposed to be a defensive center on the third or fourth line. So winning that draw is paramount, because where does he usually start, guys? In the defensive zone. So that is a key metric that really does need to be ratcheted up. I know it probably will be, but those are numbers I watched a lot last year. And with my one knock against Pontus Holmberg, he was always below 50% on the draw. And that is just something you cannot have, especially in the playoffs. If you're going to be a checking line center or a fourth line center that is usually starting in the defensive zone, you have to be on that dot.
Okay, James, it's only two games. You don't have to start
on that. No. Listen, I know. I said that. This is the only thing that I'm going to nitpick, because that is the thing that leads directly to goals and scoring chances,
yep,
especially with a guy like David Kampf, because you're putting him out there for that singular reason to win you that defensive draw. And most times, he wins that draw, his line, as soon as the puck goes up the ice, they go off. And the offensive line comes up. So I know we're two games in. This is the only thing I'm nitpicking, because I watched it go to actual goals on the ice in these two games when those draws are not won. And for Austin Matthews, usually his draws are starting in the offensive zone. If you're clicking in at 38%, well, then if you're on a power play or you're doing whatever and you're losing those draws, you're not getting that offensive time for your line either. You're battling to get the puck back, and by that time, your shift is probably over. So you're not maximizing Austin Matthews when you lose those draws. That's my only nitpick. By the way, John Tavares, looking pretty damn good on the dot.
Of course he is.
I'm going to put that out there. Same with Fraser Minton. Not too shabby.
Really?
One thing I will also add, if you don't mind, is now I'm trying to think of which – there was a goal scored, I'm pretty sure – and it was after that really long power play where the first unit was out there for the whole power play. And I think the line that they put out was Bertuzzi with Minton. Was it Minton? Bertuzzi, Minton, and like Domi or Yarncroak? And I was like,
a mixture, oh,
yeah, that's a good Franken line right there. Like a good Frankenstein line that like, they haven't really had that dangerous of a line to jump out there after a power play. In a couple of years, they've had some decent players kind of mixed in. But also, if you look at the second power play unit, just how – like, that's a first power play unit for some teams. I'm just going to say it. For some teams, Bertuzzi, was it Domi, Yarncroak out there with Riley and Liljegren. Like, that's probably the best second power play unit they've had. Like, they've had guys like Engvall. Enough said. Enough said. That's all you need to know.
You drop that one name and it's already over. It's game over.
Pierre Engvall is – I'm so happy he's going to retire a New York Islander. I'm just so, so happy.
I didn't realize Minton's height.
7 years.
I thought he was shorter. I thought Minton was shorter, yeah. But no, he's 6'2", 192.
Yeah, he might have had a growth spurt after he got drafted, because I don't think they drafted him as a 6'2". Or if he did, he was maybe 6'2", like 170 or something like that. But he's grown. He's developed a little bit. He's
you would know from the good. W.
Yeah, I saw him when he was younger. It's tough because the BC teams only come out to Saskatchewan every 2 years, not every year. So I didn't see him. I saw him, whatever the cycle would have been the first time. So he would have been very, very young at that point. Yeah, he would have been a baby. He wasn't even draft eligible, I think, at that point. But, I mean, you see a kid force his way into a conversation of making the team out of camp when – he probably shouldn't be in that conversation, just given his timeline and everything.
Yeah.
That's super impressive. So I can't wait to see him for another 6 or 7 games. But I like I said earlier, he's not sticking around. He's just not. Like, there's other options. He's better off in junior. He's better off at the World Juniors.
Hell yeah. What a World Junior.
So I'm looking forward to it. Well, exactly. And this is kind of forcing his way onto that roster as well. The longer he stays, the better he looks in the World Juniors as well. And it's just better for the Leafs overall. So, long story short, I'm excited about the kid.
Oh yeah. No, he'll definitely get his little look here. He'll put that in his back pocket. Like I said to you guys, start this season when he did get the call to make this team, he'll put that in his satchel as, a positive thing, and he'll carry that with him this year and really use that as motivation going into next season with the Maple Leafs. We'll talk about the week that will be. At least you have 3 games, so the week that will be. How this works, ladies and gentlemen, if you are new here, is we just basically look at the 3 teams the Toronto Maple Leafs will face and say what their record will be this week. And
one
key thing that happens. Obviously, we know we got Chicago, we got the Florida guys, we got Panthers and Lightning. Leafs going on a beautiful trip a week too early for my liking, because I will be in Florida next week. you damn bastards. But anyways, the Maple Leafs have three games this week. Dylan, for the first week that will be, what are you saying for said Maple Leafs this week?
I'm looking right now at the teams, just overall feel. I'm going to say 2-0-1 with an overtime loss to Tampa. Something about Tampa. I know that
about them.
I know that their goaltending isn't at a high right now, but most of the whole team is there as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I'm mistaken, but no, it looks like most of the team is there. So, they've got guys stepping up at the right opportunity in Tampa, so I'm going to say 2-0-1. Still squeaking out 5 out of 6 points, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad at all. No. I'm going to say they're going to put a John Klingberg in the wing column, guys. That's a 3.
That's a Dion Phaneuf.
Oh, no, I think John Klingberg surpassed Dion Phaneuf in popularity already, in my book. Okay. No, I was a big Dion guy, so I'm not going to say that, but. I'm looking at this week. I'm looking at Peter Mrazek. I'm looking at a banged up Florida Panthers.
Is it Bob and Netta probably, or
probably,
I just saw it.
I'm not fully sure what's going on with Florida's goaltending, like Spencer Knight. I think he's back, but is he back? And then they have, Anthony Stolarz. So like we might see Anthony Stolarz. So either way, Florida's banged up. They don't have Ekblad. I think there's two or three other guys who are out. Montour Ekblad, is out, I think.
Sam Bennett and Montour.
Sam Bennett. So you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I just saw Minnesota, the Leafs just beat. I just saw Minnesota beat Florida in their home opener. Now Minnesota looked great in that game, but. I think Florida, this is the time to play Florida as much as possible because they are banged up. And then again, Tampa Bay, it's going to be, is it Matt Perkins? Is it Parkins? I don't even know his name. Who? Or Tompkins. No, Tompkins.
No, that's Chicago.
Nope. That's Tampa. I just saw the guy. He's 29 really? Years old. He made his NHL debut.
I thought he was drafted by.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He did make a start today. Yeah.
Is it Tompkins? I think it's Tompkins. Or Jonas Johansson. You know what? It's a great time to play Tampa too. And they're also banged up. Dylan, I will correct you. Steven Stamkos is hurt right now. I don't know if he's out for a long time. I don't know if he's out for a long time, but he is banged up. So you know what? What is it? It's on Saturday, so we're looking at 6 days away. He might be back. But you know what? I still think that this is a matchup that I think – even though Tampa is not full strength, that we're all going to want to watch because Tampa's pissed from last year in the playoffs.
Yep.
And the Leafs want to show that it wasn't a fluke. So I think both teams are going to come out, you know, it's going to be a good one.
That's why regardless of time.
It might, you're right. Regardless of, my light just died. Come on now. Regardless of health situations, I think that game is going to be really good. But you know what I'm looking forward to, and this is going to lead right into your good, James. I know you have to do your week, and that will be still. But Ryan Reeves, Tanner Janot, Saturday night, it's going to happen. They're going to go at it. So you know what? If Ryan Reeves doesn't have a fight per game by Saturday, he might have two or three on Saturday alone. But
he'll
we'll
be prepared.
I'm saying 3 wins. I think these guys are they're rifling the puck right now. They're very confident. And you know what? I could see this team. I was talking to my other friend Dylan, and he was saying I could see them going 9-0, and then I can't even remember who the team. Oh, Dallas. Until they winning all the way up until they
six.
Play Dallas.
6-0, and then Dallas, and then Nashville.
Is it 6?
LA.
Yeah. Oh, okay. One, well, there you go. So, yeah. You know what? I'm confident this week. I'm going to say 3 wins.
Sorry,
I don't always go 3 wins. You know this. I've done this a couple of times with you guys. I don't always go 3. I think they're going to go undefeated this week.
Well, Clark, I wasn't going to agree with you. And then listening to your reasoning and listening to Dylan's reasoning, I say 3-0 is a very realistic thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, especially given the fact they are going to be drilled into the ice about cleaning up their defensive play. And obviously, Samsonov will have some things to prove as well against Tampa. and probably against Connor Bedard, shut him down. We know that Joe Woll will get a game this week, which will probably be the Panthers.
So I thought they said that he was starting tomorrow. Maybe I'm mistaken on that, too.
I would assume he might, but...
When I saw from Mark Masters, today Samsonov was the starter.
Oh, okay.
Well, I will say
I kind of like that just because Chicago, but it's at home. You give Sammy all three home games to start the season, all spaced out nicely. By the way, this is probably the best schedule I've seen the Leafs get to start a season in a long time. If you guys remember last year, they started 3-4. Three games and four nights last year to start the season. And then they had a back-to-back like two weekends in. They had a lot of back-to-backs last year. They were bagged like early on in the season, whereas this year everything is nicely spaced out. They got a day in between each game. It was Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, and then Thursday, Saturday on the road. Like that's awesome. Like that's a great schedule. I don't think I've seen a good schedule. They don't have a back-to-back until November 10th and 11th. I was looking at the other night. That just hasn't happened in years. So really, really happy about that as well as a fan base, I would assume. But it's a great chance to get Sammy some really good starts early on. And then on the road, you probably give Joe Woll like two or three starts on that road trip, I would think.
No, I definitely fully agree with you. Just refresh my feed to make sure that I wasn't talking out of my ass. And yes,
I thought I saw. That's why I said it. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't.
Putting him as the starter in their lineup projection so far. So, I mean, that could change tomorrow. But generally, when those guys put out those lines, you can pretty much go to the bank with it. So we'll see what happens. But that is the week that will be for the Maple Leafs three games. Two of us going 3-0. Dylan giving the Leafs a overtime loss. So we'll see who ends up being right next Sunday. I will not be here, but I'll hear these guys talk about it. And we'll see how wrong or right we were. But now we slide into the GBU, the good, the bad, the ugly with the Maple Leafs so far this week. And the good, I don't care. It's the Reeves effect, period. End of story. And I got blown up a little bit on TikTok with a video that I made talking about the Reeves effect. There's so many people saying it's good. So many people saying, oh, my God, you know what? You're right. So many people saying you're out to lunch. You're crazy. This guy sucks. What are you talking about? Here's the thing. Yes, he plays like 8 to 12 minutes a night. Cool. Guess what? In those minutes that he plays, he's effective. Lays the body, 5-plus hits in both games, a fight in both games, talking to the other bench. Also, by the way, both games drew a penalty against, which is something I told Clark about, that is going to be a Reeves effect because guys will take liberties trying to go after him to goad him into a fight. So they'll take that instigator, or they'll slash him, or they'll do something stupid because he pissed them off. And he's done that in spades. And the reason why Austin Matthews handed him the belt and said, hey, this is because of what you've done and the energy he brings. No, it's not just the music. Hello, Dion Phaneuf did that once upon a time too. But he also is just bringing energy. But one thing that I've really done on my videos lately is I've highlighted the fact that Ryan Reeves is a lightning rod for the media. And who does that leave alone? All of the stars and all of the problems and all of the issues. Everybody's talking about Ryan Reeves and the missed fight opportunity with Jack Eye. Oh, Jack Eye got the better of him. This, that, and the other. Oh, he fought again in Minnesota. And he's barking. He's doing this, doing that. They're not talking about Austin Matthews too much. Obviously, Austin Matthews scoring goals. But I'm saying they're not talking about it. When have you heard William Nylander's contract brought up the past couple games? You haven't. So I'm just like,
do you think it's because his shirt's always off in the dressing room and they're just flocking to that? Or
listen, I would.
The man is a man. He's a Superman in there. Just give him a Leafs cape and let him be running around. But it's the Reeves effect, man. What did we talk about in the opening when he skated out on the ice? He pointed and everybody lost their crap. Even living in the booth couldn't help but smile. He is deflecting so much away, and this will be key when this team does, Clark, hit that little losing slide you were talking about, or they lose a game or two. He talked about this in the summer. It'll be on him to change the narrative and change the focus, and he will do that. But he's already doing that, and it's great, and it's what the Leafs need. He's basically a punching bag on the ice and off of it.
We've needed this way too long. It is literally... We have hit the expiry date on how long we have needed this. Like it, it is something that, like, you know, you wish you could bring back Colt Knorr, but it's like, he's in the past. Like,
you know, I will say though, Dale,
energy that I've never expected.
Yeah, I will say this about like the Colt Knorr, Fraser McLaren, Jay Rosehill era, because I feel like, you know, we had those guys for a while. Those guys, I'm not going to say Ryan Reeves is like a Selke candidate by any stretch.
No,
but they couldn't handle the media.
Those guys couldn't. They couldn't play. Like, they weren't good. Reeves can move around out there. He can do a couple of things. I mean, ask Freddie Goudreau how he feels after that hit from Ryan Reeves, by the way. But I mean, Ryan Reeves, yes, okay, we're gonna see for the entire season, and for, you know what? Honestly, for the next 3 years, we're gonna see. I hate to use this term because I also like analytics and I appreciate what they do. We're going to see the nerds on Twitter constantly saying, oh, but his line were outshot. They were outchanced. The blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, well. Like, really? Did you see everything else? Did you see the way the boys got behind him? Do you see the boys, and we talked about this on Wednesday, James, did you see the boys getting into the scrum with Tyler Bertuzzi when Tyler Bertuzzi got in there? It's because they have this level of confidence they haven't had, and Dylan, you said it, for a long time.
Yeah.
This is something that Ryan Reeves does. Even if he's not on the ice, he's there. They feel him. They build off of him. They
know he'll take a number.
They'll know exactly. If something goes down,
guess who's watching. He sits them down, and he's just like, I got you, boys.
This is like the big brother who's sitting upstairs in the room, and he looks out the window and he sees his little brother getting picked on. And the next day he goes out there and he smacks a kid because he's took a number. And that's exactly what Ryan Reeves does. He's that, not a babysitter, but he's like the hall monitor. He's out there just, are you out of line? He keeps the guys. He's checking on people, making sure they got their hall pass. And if they don't, he's going to smack them. That's probably not what hall monitors do. I've never had a hall monitor.
That is not what hall monitors.
I don't think kids are out there getting smacked in the hallway.
Back to class.
In the hall pass. But that's what he does. And you know what, James? Like I've said this a couple times. This is like the line I'm probably going to go back to all the time. He might only play 8 or 9 minutes a night, but he's playing 50-51 on the bench all night long. And he's out there, and that's more important than a lot of the nerds who are going to say he got outshot. And again, I hate it because I appreciate analytics. I'm on that side of the fence, but if you're going to come at me on Twitter, and I didn't get personally attacked yet, but I probably will at some point. If you're going to come at me on Twitter with him getting outshot and outchanced,
yeah,
and whatever you want to say about it, let's just look at the results. And so far, I think the results are pretty dang good about the Ryan Reeves effect.
I would also love to say that, like, I cannot believe the amount of no mercy this man has for his former teammates. Like, he needs to stay on this Leafs squad until he retires, because I fear the day that he will be against us in trying to run over our superstars. Like, it is terrifying.
Hopefully this is his last contract and he's with the Leafs. But we'll move on to the bad here in just a moment. But we want to talk about our friends who are not doing too bad themselves. The Hockey Podcast Network, as they're partnered up with DraftKings. And you know what it is right now. The NFL season going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week and get $200 in instant bonus bets. Get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code PHPN. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet just $5 on the NFL. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS, licensee partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, LA, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms and responsible gambling resources. So check out our pals over at the THPN, the Hockey Podcast Network, and DraftKings. Get in there with the code THPN. Now, speaking of the bad for me right now has to be well, let's just use our friend Southside Panda here just for a moment. His panic, the absolute freakout, the panic of everything. You just need to calm down and take a breath. Take a moment, okay? Because this Maple Leafs team will round into form. Most teams will round into form. Hello, Edmonton, I see you. You will round into form, Edmonton fans. Don't worry, it's coming. But right now, the panic button, just because I don't know why, but Leaf fans are so hurt from the last playoff run that it has spilled into this season. You know, people that I was close with on TikTok, they have gone the way of the dodo bird and they've just expired themselves into a land of exile because it's just so wild the things that they are consistently saying. But guys, for me, the bad has to be right now the fan base and the toxicity. It's so early. Where's the fun? We just started. Let's enjoy this. Auston Matthews is on an absolute heater. William Nylander looks like a world beater right now driving the net. Hello, something someone said he doesn't do, by the way, calling him a marshmallow. So he's doing all the right things. Cali Yarncroak scoring, still taking heat. TJ Brody trips over the blue line in the offensive zone and everybody loses their minds. Just calm down. Yeah, like I said, my litmus test, give it 10 games. If they're still allowing 6 or 7 goals in 10 games, then we got a problem. Then we got a problem because obviously it should tighten up a little bit by then. You should start to see it just teeter down a little bit as you go along and things come together. But am I out to lunch here? Is the bad with the fan base? That's just got to stop for a minute here. Just enjoy the first week of the damn season.
Everybody lives in fear nowadays. I think the anxiety of last year's playoffs always just glooms over. You see it every year too. And it's not just this year. Like,
I got to get a cup of this beer, I guess, because man, I guess I'm too
I was wondering what you were looking around for.
I'm gonna grab me a glass of the negativity so I can join in the fun. But
geez. No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't go to the dark side.
Listen, man, I'm about to be like our sponsor, Boxing Rock, and throw some fisticuffs. Let's go.
Oh,
get into it. That's but you know what, James? I totally agree. And you know, just to pull back the curtain a little bit. That was a big reason why for myself, as you guys both know, but I got myself off TikTok, for example. You know, even positive videos that I was putting out were getting just the worst comments on there. And, you know, I didn't put a whole lot of stock into comments all the time, but over time, you kind of just get exhausted. You kind of get burnt out by it a little bit. And for me, it was kind of seeping into my personal life and causing some negativity out there as well in the real world. Just so you know, for me, that fan base thing has been brewing for a while. It's not new. To me, I think this is a 3 or 4 year thing, and maybe I'm just noticing it more now in the last 3 or 4 years. But I think it's maybe even goes back a little bit further than that. I think the patience with this team ran out shortly after the Washington series. Probably started way back in the Columbus series era. Where this team blew it against Columbus. And then, you know, just from there, I think that's kind of where it all started. There's a sense of kind of false hope out there. There's a sense of it's never going to happen. So why are we getting excited? There's a sense of this team hasn't shown that they can do it, so they can't. There's a whole lot of that going on.
Those are also the same fans that are like, oh, this is going to be our year. So they're contradicting themselves. Like, I feel like this fan base at the snap of a finger is ready to riot in the streets of Toronto.
Yeah.
And it sounds totally brutal, but that's mainly a reason why I do not go to like the tailgate as much. Like,
yeah,
and it's a little bit.
It's okay, far, Dylan. I'm coming in April. I'll be your bodyguard.
But it's true. It's brutal, man. Like if one bad game happens, like you see jerseys being lit on fire. I know that's several different
fans. It's not even games at this point, though, Dylan, which is the most frustrating part. It's plays. It's individual plays. It's the TJ Brody falling down, and then all of a sudden he's bad. It's like the snap judgments on things are just so tiring. It's like, guys. Yeah.
The coach makes a wrong decision, and it's let's fire Keith now. Like, it's everybody's
absolutely. And Dylan, you nailed it. It's remember last year near the end of the season, there was a practice line set that got tweeted out, and like they had, I don't even remember what it was because it was late in the season. There was guys calling up and calling down, and the lines, the comments on the lines were, this is a fireable offense. It was a practice. They didn't even use the lines in the game. They changed the lines for the game. They just did it in one practice. And they're like, this is fireable. Oh, you know what? It was Kerfoot in the top six at the end of the year. And everyone's like, this is fireable. It's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. You guys are all just dumb. So anyways, you know what? Social media sometimes, I think we all have to maybe learn a bit and just check out a little bit more than we probably are used to. I've been doing it for a couple months now, and guys, I got to be honest, I'm a lot happier. Just not being as deep in it as I was, trying to take a step back, check, you know, looking for what you want to see and like the lines and stuff, you know, the trade, the news, all that stuff. You still want to keep it in touch with that, but getting yourself out of comment sections has been.
I don't know if I said this already, but like some of the most brutal comments I have ever received have been on my most positive videos. And it's like, and it's just attacking me for no apparent reason. So it gets to you personally. And I know that we've had several people in our TikTok little group that have said that it's tough and they need breaks. Like it is hard and it's brutal. So stop taking everything so seriously, everybody. Stop being what is the generation? Gen X? Is that who takes everything? Anyways.
Stop being a goddamn pessimistic Pete, because Pete, we miss you.
Yeah, where's Pete?
Listen, by the way, I want to do a quick shout out to Pete, actually. Those beautiful videos you're seeing of me and Clark being cut up from last episode, that is Pete just learning a new system and kind of in behind the scenes being our version of Jesse Blake, putting things together and, you know, producing the clips. So pessimistic producer Pete, I mean, that's a whole lot of pee-pees, but that's okay.
Triple P, baby. Triple P.
We'll get it done. But I wanted to shout him out. Listen, the GBU, usually we slide in something ugly where we just talk about what we talked about. There is no ugly this week. There's no ugly. It's two games. Just pump the brakes. Okay. We'll talk about something ugly. Okay, fine. We talked about the face-offs already. It's done. Over with. We'll pick out something ugly for the next one, but that's the GBU. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. We do it every single week. Make it easy this week. Off the glass is usually just a topic each that everybody brings to the table. It's the first week for me. All I'm going to say for my topic here is, let's just talk about what Dilly wants to talk about off the hop, guys. Let's just big up Austin Matthews, who came into this and just went rah, and showed his Maple Leaf chest and said, listen, I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling good. I'm scoring goals. I'm looking like the guy two seasons ago who absolutely lit the league on fire. And I'll say this, Clark, because I said it to you and Dylan, I said it to you last year too. Tell me now that there was not something hampering Austin Matthews all of last season.
100% couldn't agree, but there are also a few factors that could be helping, like the Ryan Reeves effect. We talked about it. I also want to shout out Chris Versteeg. I think he talked on, I forget whose show.
It was J.D. Bunkus' show. Yeah. He made J.D. Bunkus just ears perk right up when he said what he said. Yes.
When Matthews is on, there is no stopping him. And it is utterly true. There is something about this man's aura that is unstoppable. Like that wraparound. Who tries a backhand wraparound? I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't try that. I know I'm not the best hockey player, but I think 98% of the guys in the league wouldn't try it. I'm going to be honest.
I fully agree with you with Austin Matthews full of piss and vinegar. But the thing for me is look at the exit velocity off his stick for the releases. It is way different than it was last year. Tell me I'm wrong. But there's scrap power is there again.
There's got to be some chip on his shoulder. Like he's out here to prove that, like, you know.
Like the
Connor might have had the trophy last year, but hold my beer this year, Connor. I'm going to take it again.
But Austin Matthews ain't drinking no beer. He's probably got some protein shake or something.
He's probably got a bubbly at least.
Yeah. But James, I think on this show a couple of years ago when he was on that torrid pace of 60, whatever goals he ended up getting, 62. I called him a robot so many times that season. I'm like, this guy's just a robot. He's a machine. He doesn't look normal. I mean, and you got to be remember too, Dylan, like there's something about him. He is also like 6'3", like 225. Like he's built, but
I've met him. I know.
And like 25 pounds of that is in his wrists. Like the guy has a bomb for a wrist shot. He's just built differently than so many different players. And you don't often see, there's a few of them out there, but you don't often see guys of his size as strong on the puck as he is, as quick as he is, as good with his stick as he is, and as good with his hands as he is. Like, he's got such a deadly, lethal combination of skill that you just don't see very many guys having. Like, Leon Draisaitl probably has a similar skill set and size. Evgeny Malkin has a similar skill set and size.
I would also like to say, I think Matthew Knies is really following in his footsteps.
He's looked really good. He showed some really good signs. Really good defensive player. I think he's going to be a really nice defensive player growing as he grows and develops. But again, can't say enough good things about Matthews. And 100% there was something wrong with him last year. Because even, you know, last year, how many times did we say, you know what? That's not a one-timer that he often misses. He usually picks that corner or whatever. He usually beats the goalie on that last year. This year, I mean, is 70 out of the question? I don't want to get too cocky, but
I think he saw what McDavid did last year and says, I'll raise you a beer. And so, speaking of raising, by the way, on the word of Austin Matthews, the Maple Leafs must have hired someone new to run their Twitter account because they are on fire. They use the he's not human lady from the airplane that got all the flack in the summer. Point out Austin Matthews' goals. They put her up there and everybody was like, oh my God, because she said that person's not human. And they put that, they said in response to Matthews, and they put a picture.
And they used a Breaking Bad reference. They put Breaking Bad season 4, episode like 3 or 4 or 5 or something. And then they put a specific timestamp. And if you go to that timestamp, the quote that is being used at that very moment is, somebody cooked here. And that was Austin Matthews jumping into the glass after a goal or something. And the quote is, somebody cooked here. Like, as if, like, you let him cook. Let him cook. Yeah. He's cooking.
Damn.
Like, James, they did some research in the summer. They got some material. And I can't wait to see what else they come up with.
Well, man, the social team looks great. And especially when Matthews is good.
Can I ask you guys one thing? I noticed something about his, I don't want to say undergarments because it's not his undergarments. It's his.
Well, what are we talking about here, Dale?
It's on his wrist. So in the picture with the belt, it's not normally like I have them. They're like plastic in these little cuffs, but he has like what almost looks like what some medieval guys would wear, but I know it's not that. It's like mesh. Probably Kevlar.
Which is like bulletproof vest essentially material. And what that does is it's a little bit more flexible than like a plastic, which
of course
a lot of wrist guards, a lot of guys don't wear wrist guards because they're that hard plastic and you can't.
And it
really
would prevent you from doing everything.
You know, Kevlar is a little bit more flexible, so it's probably and lighter probably as well. So you have a little bit more maneuverability with that. And I think knowing Austin Matthews, like I've heard some stories about how he constantly changes out his gloves because he likes dry gloves. I can't imagine he would want any restrictions on his wrists whatsoever. So I think that's probably what it was.
Yeah, I was just thinking that that's probably
unless he's wearing like wrist weights during the game, just working out his wrists during the game. I don't know. Could be.
Just hung out with Bedsy all summer and you know, just did one hand wrist shots. So one forearm is like
If I can point out one thing off the glass, James, you kind of mentioned it in our pre-show chat, but They did change the goal song after a lot of conversation on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now, basically what I heard, and Nick Alberga tweeted this out, at the Golden Muzzy, speaking of mustaches, Nick Alberga.
Hello.
Basically, essentially, now I will say, if we can all give a little bit of a standing ovation to our friend Hockey Illuminati, that's Frank. Frank, yes. On TikTok and Instagram, if you don't follow Hockey Illuminati, he is wonderful. He's a great dude. But he put out a video, and I don't know if this circulated enough, but I saw it going out quite a lot of different places. I saw it a few times, so I know it got around. And he basically said, I'm really surprised that a woke organization like MLSE would choose Pursuit of Happiness as a goal song, considering a good chunk of it is about drug use and drunk driving. Just so happens, a couple of days later, they switched the song to Dupe Dupe Dupe, which is, it's a solid goal song. I've heard a lot of junior teams use it over the years. I don't think an NHL team has ever used it. It's big over in Europe as well. So I know a bunch of European teams use it, or like world junior teams, I've heard them use it in the past. So it's a very safe song. There's a lot of crowd engagement in it. And I honestly kind of think it's better than the Pursuit of Happiness one. I didn't mind the Pursuit of Happiness one, but I giggled a little bit when I saw Nick's tweet about the fact that they changed it because somebody complained that it glorified drunk driving. It's like, okay, we complained as a, like, the good chunk of the fan base complained about You Make My Dreams Come True for 5 seasons. And one person said something about the game or the goal song after one game, and they changed it. Like, who did you have to talk to? Why didn't we just figure this out 5 years ago? But I kind of like it. Now they're going to probably do other songs.
There'll be another one tomorrow for the next gen game. So,
oh, it's tomorrow, next gen game.
I do believe they were practicing in their black attire this week. So
I saw that, but I thought obviously that was gonna be something Saturday, has and to then they didn't soon, do it, but. Yeah. I hope they do. I love those blacks. You know, I love those black jerseys.
Well, the Bedard, you know, show coming to town would be a good way to do it. Young guy coming to the league really could pump that up. But yeah, about the goal song, there's going to be about 4 or 5 different iterations this season, for original 6, for throwback Thursdays, for regular games, for another reason, and then one other reason around the All-Star game, there'll be another song. And I think what they'll do by the end of the season, whatever one has the strongest fan reaction will probably be the one they run with, I would assume. Or
maybe what
Buffalo does and do individual damn goal songs.
Nah, they're not doing that this year. They might next year, but they won't. Now, one thing I will say is after I was watching the Minnesota game pretty closely, and I saw they did a bunch of crowd shots as the game went on after goals, and I saw people trying to get into the song.
Yeah.
It's like I saw people trying to clap along or – you know, whatever, or I saw 2 or 3 people going, hey, 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 when they were doing that part. So like, now here's the thing I will say, I'm a former game day operations guy myself. I picked goal songs for 3 years with the Regina Pats and 2 years before that. And I was I picked EDM songs because I wanted people to kind of clap along or have a sense of joy or dance, like they want to get up and dance. That's kind of what I wanted after a goal. And I think the Dupe 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 song does that. It checks all the boxes. It's older and it's been used, but at the same time, you know what? I think it's a good one overall. And let's stop talking about goal songs for a while.
That's it right there. Okay, well, let's slide into the boxing rock. Bearded Blue Warrior. Dylan's the only one with an intact beard. Means he didn't cheer hard enough in the playoffs. Just
I didn't have time to.
All right, let's do this one quick. Let's wrap this one up, put a bow on it. For me, my boxing rock Bearded Blue Warrior this week is Connor Bedard. And I say that because young guy coming in the league, all the cameras on him, everything on him. He's still having fun with fans. You see the interaction with the Montreal fan who asked him to sign his jersey. Oh, no, I can't sign a Montreal jersey. Having fun with them. He's taking everything in stride. He's got a goal and an assist. He's, you know, got the stummy ticks from Mr. Brad Marchand. He got the nice words from the referee talking about how you're going to have a great career. Went head-to-head with Crosby and got burned on the dot. And he was talking about how good Crosby was. He's taking everything in stride. All the media, everything in the NHL, putting him on the Pat McAfee show during a game day. Usually guys don't do that kind of media during a game day. You know, but he went on that show and, you know, talked about hockey, put it back into a bigger sphere with a guy like Pat McAfee. So for me, it's Connor Bedard. thank you very much for growing the game, you know, coming into the game. You're basically taking everything in stride. I like the way he did it. So he's my bearded blue warrior this week, coming in, young guy, taking the league by storm, but also taking it all in stride and basically not faltering. I love it.
Clarky, you know mine, so you go first.
Yeah, I'm going to – now here's the thing. I wasn't thinking outside of the Leafs, so now I have to, you know, broaden my scope.
Oh.
But I'm not going to. I'm going to go right back to the Leafs. I'm going to say Noah Gregor. I really liked his week this week. It's a couple games. He scored the first goal of the season for the team. He showed that he has exactly what they need on that fourth line. I think him and David Kampf have something special going together. I think they'll be a really solid shutdown pair, and then you put like a Yarncroak or maybe a Matthew Nyes with them in certain situations. But I really like how Noah Gregor earned himself a contract, which I think is worthy of a bearded blue warrior in itself. And then on top of that, he's looked really, really good in his first couple of games. So he's mine.
Well, we all talked about him today. So Ryan Reeves is my guy. He brought the boom when he needed to. He brought the blood, sweat, and tears, and he had no mercy for his former team in Minnesota. So he gets my bearded blue warrior.
Well, one more I will say, if I can just add one more really quick, Austin Matthews, and not for the goals, not for the spectacular goal celebrations or anything else that he did, but after he got player of the game last game, he saw a kid in the crowd from Mexico with a sign that said he was from Mexico. Matthews has Mexican heritage, went over, threw the stick over the glass and pointed at the kid and waited there until the guy who grabbed the stick gave the stick to the kid. I think that's a badass move. That's the Ryan Reeves effect right there.
Hell yeah.
And the last one I want to do, I'll do it for Pete, who's not here to kick off the Leafs weekender this year. But I want to do one for the Snow family. Obviously, an emotional week for them, dropping the puck, you know, remembering their husband, their dad, their friend, their father, you know, general manager, friend in hockey, however you want to classify them. You know, Chris Snow has touched every single person on this podcast with his story. And many people around the world, obviously giving them strength, courage to face what they are facing every single day. So it wouldn't feel right to not add a fourth one here with Pete not being here. So I will say, and I know he would have picked this one. So Chris Snow and the Snow family, again, our thoughts are with you, but obviously you earn definitely well-deserved bearded blue warrior for everything the Snow family's gone through. And again, Chris Snow for helping people even not being here anymore. Obviously, the organ donation is amazing, but what he did to further the research in his trials and everything like that will go on to save and prevent and help many people throughout their lives. So my other bearded blue warrior goes to the Snow family.
Hell yeah.
Well, Leafs Nation, we're wrapping her up here. It's a late one, but it's the Leafs weekend. It'll be up and in your ears tomorrow, but guess what? We'll be back in your ears next week, of course, on Wednesday and Sunday, and keeping her rolling all season long. So thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. Follow along to Clark Monroe over on Twitter. Follow D434 over on the old
YouTube machine
for D4 Sports Cards. But hey, you know what this is right here? This is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey, well, they come to talk. Cheers.